Paul, thanks for joining us on West Kent Radio.
Nice to be here, and it's nice to be able to discuss organic apple production with you.
As we came in, we could see lots of apple trees, a big warehouse as well. What exactly do you do on this site?
We are just outside Cranbrook, a place called Hartley, and on this site we pack, sort and dispatch all of our organic fruit that we grow on six sites, which are dotted around the area at Goudhurst, at Marden, at Sandhurst, and all the fruit is brought back here for sorting. And some is stored here as well for long-term storage, because obviously apple harvest goes on for 8 weeks, but you can't sell the entire crop over an eight-week period. So apples are cold stored and we hold fruit until April, May the following year.
So how did this summer's harvest go? It was a very, very hot summer, not much rain. Did that affect the apples?
It had a great effect on the early season apples in the respect that there was insufficient moisture to give them the size. So the early season apples were very much smaller than usual, so the yields were down. It also affected an awful lot of the fruit on the south-facing sides of the tree. They suffered a condition called sun scorch, which actually physically cooked the apples on the trees. So we lost a fair percentage of the crop to sun scorch. But then coming for the later season apples, the ones that would be stored later on, we started to get an awful lot of rain towards the end of August into September. September was actually above average rainfall. As some of the fruit was picked at the end of September, October, the yields actually increased. And I think that we've come out in a far better position than we thought we were going to be during the middle of the summer, because I think everybody can remember just how hot and intolerable it was. So, yes, it was a very, very challenging year.
How many people do you employ on this site? You've got this big warehouse, you've got many, many fields. How many people does it take at the peak to pick all this and pack it all up again to distribute it?
At our peak, I think we were probably employing in the region of 50 to 60 people, and that would cover the packing and the fruit picking in the orchard, and obviously the movement of the fruit from orchard to store, the loading of the stores, monitoring of stores, and the whole process, and obviously looking after people as well.
And the way you grow the apples is organically. Can you explain to people what do you do differently?
The difference between organic and conventional production is the fact that organic production is very strictly regulated, not just in the UK, but across the whole of Europe and the world, to a certain standard. We are very much restricted in plant protection products.
So you're looking for ways not to use the chemicals?
We're not permitted to use complex chemicals or anything that's classed actually as a chemical. We're only allowed to use natural products or simple products. Our main approach to, say, fungal diseases would be using potassium bicarbonate baking soda mixed with seaweed to alter the pH on the leaf, which is stops the scab spores and other fungal spores and mildew germinating. And also we don't use any herbicide on the ground. The control of herbage is done mechanically. We cultivate around the trees to keep the weed competition away. But we try to leave the orchards in the middle rows and around the edges as weedy as possible to encourage lots of diversity of insects. We get good guys and we get bad guys, but we generally get more good guys, more beneficials by leaving as much of it wild as possible.
So it's definitely better for the environment when it's organic, because you use fewer chemicals that hurt other wildlife.
Absolutely. And we're also using simpler ways of nutrition. We're using plant-based products or animal-based products for the nutrition, because obviously if you grow a crop year on year, particularly with apples, pears, also that you have to feed the soil, you have to feed the tree to get a crop consistently year after year.
And what about the issue of pesticide residues? Because the non-organic commercial fruit, does that have pesticide residues by the time it gets back to the consumer?
I believe that they're tested for a minimum level, and I think it's extremely low. I mean, we've just literally had a random sample taken about 3 weeks ago by the Soil Association. We come back with zero residues on ours because we're only using very natural products. But I don't think chemical residues are an issue with fruit that is sold and grown conventionally. It would be unfair to say that it was.
So it's more about protecting the environment and wildlife and making it sustainable. I mean, why is it that you do grow organically rather than non-organically?
It was a personal choice 20-odd years ago to pursue that because I don't like the use of chemicals. It's an awful lot more challenging. It's much easier to grow them using chemicals.
So if you're trying to persuade someone to buy your apples, which will cost more than the non-organic ones...
Yes, they will.
Is it about the taste?
Firstly, we're an independent business and we offer more choice. Our varieties are outside of what you would expect for the bog-standard Gala and Braben and Pink Lady. So we're firstly offering more choice, different flavours, and we are growing, I believe, in a more sustainable way. We employ more people. People are more important to the business because we haven't got a chemical solution. If we have a problem, for example, overrun with weeds, we have to do it manually. If we have a problem with too many apples, which is something crop regulation is quite an important part of growing apples, either organically or conventionally, we have to take them off by hand. So we're a very people-centred business, and we have to have somebody doing the cultivating and the rest of things. And I think, you know, from our point of view, I'm happier with what we're doing. I'm happier with the way we're growing. And I've done it for 20-odd years now, and I don't see any point in changing.
Was farming in your family? How did you end up getting this land and going into apple production?
I literally fell into it. I was working in another field. I was actually working in construction, and I wanted to leave that field. And we had a orchard at the property where we live, and I took on the orchard, took on the management of that, and that was the first orchard we converted to organic. And then from there, we acquired a little bit more ground here and there. And as the market expanded, we expanded our production base. And I think as time goes on, over 25 years, we've done a lot of learning. It's a very, very complex, very difficult way to grow anything. And I think any gardener who would be growing things without using complex chemicals would testify to that, because those bugs are out there and they want to eat what you're growing. So, it's very challenging, but very rewarding as well.
If someone's listening and wants to buy your particular apples, they're grown in Kent without chemicals, how do they do it?
How do they do it? They order an organic box from either Riverford, Abel and Cole, or they go to one of the many other small wholesalers that we supply around the country, and they'll end up in small organic shops. Probably the shop near you would eventually have some of our apples as well.
I wanted to talk a bit more about what the government is doing. Many farmers get subsidies under the EU system. They got subsidies for the amount of output. The idea of the government is to change that so that farmers get paid for public benefits, which is helping the environment in general. How's that affected you? Do you get a subsidy from the government at the moment?
There's a whole range of schemes that give payments per hectare for organic production. So the government has definitely positively encouraged further organic production by the means of increasing the subsidies. We get a small subsidy. It's almost inconsequential with regards to the cost of growing organically, but we get a small subsidy for orchards, and there's small subsidies available for grass and for other organic production systems. So it does receive slightly more in the way of subsidy than a non-organic farm.
Do you think government policies has been going in the right direction with moving to paying farmers for the environmental benefits rather than just producing more stuff?
I think taking ground completely out of production, if it's good ground, and rewilding it, for me, it doesn't sit very well. I think if it's reasonable ground, it's capable of producing food or being used. I think it should be used for food production, but it should be used in such a way that we're keeping a lot of the environmental benefits around the edges, because the edges are our hedgerows and our margins and our streams and our ditches. I think the government are focusing it reasonably well on those things, and mature trees and hedge management and those sort of things.
How much insect life, how much wildlife are you nurturing? Because a lot of statistics say that insect life has absolutely collapsed in the last 20, 30 years.
We leave as many areas uncut. We leave timber that falls where it falls, or we leave piles for overwintering beetles, species, other things like that. We leave as much as we can rough and ready around the edges, which I think is just, it's really, that's promoted so much. Even if you, Gardener's World are saying exactly the same thing about Monty Don in the garden. You don't have it all nice and tidy and clean. You leave areas for wildlife, and those things will feed the birds and the hedgerows. And, you know, the more you do there, we only cut our hedges, for example. The schemes we're in, We're in, I think, the organic stewardship scheme on nearly every one of our sites. So it means our hedgerow cutting is on a three-year rotation. So we always have some mature wood in there. And the mature wood is the wood that carries the fruit, which feeds the birds and the other life. So we always have some three-year wood, two-year wood, one-year wood in our hedges, which promotes a different type of hedge. Doesn't look tidy. Sometimes it looks absolutely awful and gets in our way, but it certainly promotes more diversity and more food supply for the wildlife and the birds.
And for your apples, to make them grow, there are some insects you do need and some you don't.
Absolutely. We're trying to promote anything that feeds aggressively on aphids. We want to encourage earwigs. We want to encourage ladybirds. We want to encourage parasitic wasps. All of these things play a very, very major part in controlling aphid populations and other populations of annoying pests and around the edges of the orchard.
So do you need bees?
Absolutely. We need bees, we need wild bees, we need honeybees, we need every conceivable type of bee, because different types of bee fly at different temperatures and they're absolutely essential to pollination, which is why we leave an awful lot of areas, as we're discussing now, wild and uncut, and then a lot of the native bee population live in banks, burrows, old trees, that sort of thing.
So the nature side of it is absolutely fascinating and extremely complicated, but there's another side of it, which is your workforce, because the apples don't pick themselves. How do you recruit people to pick apples? It's a very physical job, isn't it?
We will go to one of the providers that resource the labour for us. One particular one is a charity, Concordia, who have been providing staff for us for probably 20-odd years. And they will go to wherever the government allow them to go to recruit pickers. We also have a quite a strong core, I would say possibly almost 50% of people who've come from the various European areas who have been returning to us year after year. And all of these staff have worked for quite a long time. They have settled status or pre-settled status within the UK. So we're permitted to get them back. And a lot of the families come back, you know, year on year to us.
So what sort of countries are you talking about?
Well, this year we've had the returnees come back from Romania, Bulgaria, Hungary, and we've had other staff in from Uzbekistan, Kurdistan and Nepal.
Are there any people from the UK who you used for either picking or packing?
Yes, yeah. We've got a regular sort of team of local people who've been with us for years and years and years. They work on a self-employed basis. There's no full-time job picking apples. It's a harvest, and the harvest has got to be done by hand. I'm very hopeful that within time it will be done using robotics, but that's a long way off yet.
You think it's a long way off? Is it 10 years off? Are you trying machines around between the trees?
There's lots of machines being tried now to minimise the physical nature of picking in terms of people not having to carry large weights. There's lots of machines for so they can be picked from the tree onto the machine and then placed in the bin mechanically using conveyor belts, but there's nothing that actually selects and picks the apple off the tree yet, to my knowledge. And we've seen some of these. They're so prohibitively expensive to a small farm. I mean, we are a very small independent farm, and we wouldn't be able to afford that sort of machine now. If the technology came up, then it would change things, because we'd have a lot less people to employ, seasonal staff to employ. That would be, I think, a bonus for us.
With all these issues to face, are you optimistic about the next few years?
I think I'm realistic and pragmatic about the next few years. I can't say that I'm optimistic. The pressures that we've been under are becoming more complex. We're also seeing, over the past 10 to 15 years that I've been doing this, I've seen so many extremes of weather that have never been seen before. For example, the highest temperature ever recorded in the UK. We have that on one of our weather stations. It was 41.5 in one of our orchards. So we're seeing this. We're seeing droughts every second, third year. We're seeing very, very wet winters, which cause root deaths. I'm pragmatic that we'll try and deal with all of these challenges. I couldn't say I'm hugely optimistic. I'm going forward with some trepidation. Is that the right way of putting it?
Paul, it's been a fascinating conversation. Thanks so much for talking to West Kent Radio.
Thank you very much for asking me.